The PT Pintcast is powered by International Service Learning. For over 22 years, International Service Learning has been leading volunteers to 12 different countries to provide physical therapy services for those in need. They have opportunities in Costa Rica, Belize, Mexico, and many more locations around the globe. For more information, visit islonline.org.
This is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
And the next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. Our guest today is a professor, physical therapy, and Department of Radiology, Division of Research at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. He's also the chair of the Scientific Committee and vice president for the Foundation for Physical Therapy. His own line of research is investigating the musculoskeletal problems associated with diabetes, and in particular, how to help prevent amputation in people with diabetes. He's also been the principal investigator on a number of NIH training grant programs, and is passionate about helping to develop the next generation of physical therapy investigators. Welcome to the show, Michael Miller.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's great to be with you today.
Well, we actually ran into each other last year in National Harbor at the NEXT convention. We raised some money with Marymount University and we got recognized, and it was the first time we had ever done that. I think the students got really excited about donating for something like the Foundation for Physical Therapy. So I want to thank you for being a part of that and putting on such a great event.
Absolutely. And for me, as a bit of an old guy in research and a senior investigator, it's invigorating to see all the students come out with so much energy and so many good projects and activities to raise money for the research. So it's a good two-way street.
One of your things you're passionate about is to be able to develop the next generation of physical therapy investigators. I think there's a lot of students, and again, PT school is very short, 3 years. A lot of students find and catch that research bug pretty early and run with it.
Well, they do. So the foundation is in the business of funding those new investigators. So for those DPT students that want to go on and pursue a PhD, the foundation funds those kinds of projects.
I'm drinking a Leinenkugel Summer Shandy. I know the weather out there in St. Louis is very, very good. You're in school right now. So had you not been in school, what would your beer of choice be? What do you like?
You know, we've got a local brewery here, Shafley's, and that's the other local brewery. You know, so we're probably best known for our Budweiser products, but I find the Shafley's Oatmeal Stout has a little bit more flavor to it.
I like hearing about the corner breweries, the smaller ones. I like hearing about those, so when I run across them in a craft brew place or at a nice pub, I can check them out, and I've heard of that. So the Shafley Oatmeal Stout is your beverage of choice. Well, that's the hardest question you're going to face during this talk. So let's talk about the Foundation for Physical Therapy. For some students who aren't exposed to it yet, what is it? What would you explain to somebody if you were going to get in front of some PT students and tell them about it?
Well, the Foundation for Physical Therapy is the only organization that raises money and then provides money for physical therapy research. So if you think about the foundation of your career, the foundation of the profession of physical therapy really rests on a scientific basis. And so the foundation wishes to develop that further. What's just fascinating about it is it was started in the late 1970s by a group of visionary people who saw the need for research in physical therapy. And it literally changed the face of physical therapy. So because of funding that was provided to physical therapists from the early 1980s to the current time, we have a large body of investigators that are very competitive with major grant agencies. So, for instance, the foundation has just been fantastic about identifying those emerging investigators, giving them pilot money, giving them money for their doctoral degrees, and helping them to get over the hump to be competitive with very large external kinds of grants.
Yeah, if you've got a great idea, that's all well and good, but if you can't put it into practice, if you can't get any data out of it, that good idea is just going to exist in a vacuum. It's not going to be able to affect change. And ultimately, getting these great ideas out there and seeing what research topics we can get into is only going to help the profession as a whole.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The foundation is really good about not only raising that money, but getting the money into the hands of the people that can do the research and then publish the research. And then, of course, we'd love to see that research disseminated and translated into practice.
More information can be found out at foundation4pt.org. That's foundation, the number 4pt.org. And I know as a student, I was first exposed to the Foundation for Physical Therapy through the challenge. The challenge is always pretty famous, and this time of year, it's coming to a close. So if there's any donations that are going to be made by any schools or organizations, they need to start hurrying up before the end of this month. And when did that challenge going to begin, or who kind of kicked that off? Because it's a great way to get students involved, because we like to be competitive. Some people have said PT students are actually competitive, just a little bit. Right. But that's a great idea.
Yeah, it has been wonderful. Actually, one of our current board members, Dr. Sheila Schindler Ivins, who is at Marquette University, when she was a student, started the Marquette Challenge. Got to be at least 15 or 20 years, and it's just grown exponentially over those years.
Yeah, we were exposed to that our first year. How do we put together a different fundraiser? Or what can we do to get the word out there and then ultimately raise some funds and put it towards that big total at the end? So that's my background in the challenge and the Foundation for PT. A guy named Steve Tepper last year.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he came to Marymount University. He teaches a couple of modules within our acute care class, and he really told a story, and I think that's why we have people like you on with a show like this, is tell a story about an organization. Don't try to sell us on anything. He just told a story. He said, look, I got my start with the Foundation for Physical Therapy, and I want to make sure that students now who are thinking about research have a chance to be able to fund their own research. And without even going into research, just so you know, the people who are doing the research are going to help out the field that you're going into. So regardless of going into research or not, the Foundation for Physical Therapy, it's an important part of the field.
Absolutely. And Steve is a great example of that, and somebody who was influenced by it and then continues to give back. He's one of the best fundraisers that the foundation has, and in fact, he's winning an award this year at the next conference because of all the different things he's done.
Yeah, congrats to Steve Tepper. So let's talk about where that research money goes. You had some history with it, starting back in 1987 with some of the research projects that you worked on, granted money from the foundation.
That's right, Jimmy. So back in 1987, it was a little bit of a different era then, you know, so there weren't as many people with PhDs, and I was working at the time full-time in the clinic, and I was in actually a master's degree program at the time, and had been using total contact cast to heal neuropathic wounds. And there was, at that time, there were no controlled clinical trials. And so I proposed to the foundation to do a small randomized controlled clinical trial looking at the effects of total contact casting versus a traditional care. The foundation awarded me a small grant. That not only did we conduct that study, that went on to be published in Diabetes Care. And since that time, there's probably been four or five larger randomized controlled clinical trials showing that this casting technique is effective in healing neuropathic wounds. It's actually become the gold standard as far as care. So not only did it get it at the efficacy of the problem, but it told us a little bit about the mechanism of injury as well and the need for unloading these plantar wounds. So that really gave me a jump start into my research, and then I decided to return for a PhD. And so several years later, I applied to the foundation for funding for my doctoral degree. My PhD was awarded funding for that.
You got a great rich history with the foundation. I mean, that sounds like a great start and a great way for someone to get involved with it.
Well, I did. You know, what's so neat about the foundation is it's always this two-way street. So the foundation gave to me, and I was just so impacted by that. And then actually soon after I was awarded my doctoral grant, I then went on to get a very large NIH grant, an R01, to look at other aspects of diabetes and physical therapy care for people with foot amputations. I then went on to actually get several other R01s, all started from that seed funding from the foundation. So I believe strongly none of those later bigger events would have happened without the input from the foundation. And we literally have hundreds of similar stories like that. So examples where people's early work was funded and then they go on to get other kinds of funding from agencies like the National Institutes of Health or the Department of Defense or other external funding sources.
Any of those examples come to mind in terms of things that are about to be published or just published that were funded by the Foundation for Physical Therapy?
Sure. Here at Washington University, there was a PhD student, Kendra Cherry, who received a PODS 1 and a PODS 2 award from the foundation. Those are the doctoral awards. So those are the awards that are given to students during their PhD studies. And she just successfully defended her dissertation. I had the opportunity to hear that. She's going to be going on to publish that work very soon. And this is amazing work. So she's looking at ischemic conditioning on the effects of motor learning. And I don't know if you've heard about this yet, but if you haven't, this is going to be, I think it's going to be big in rehab. For instance, in her particular project, she puts a blood pressure cuff around one of the arms and creates this ischemic condition. And she left it on for 5 minutes at a time, and she repeated that like 6 or 7 times. So there's a compression and rest. She gave one group a placebo where the pressure didn't reach diastolic and another group where it exceeded the diastolic pressure. So it was like 200 millimeters of mercury of pressure. And then she trained them on a motor task. It was a balanced training. And Jimmy, I couldn't believe it because I was actually kind of skeptical that this would make a difference, but she has a very distinct training effect, a rather dramatic training effect on the people who got the ischemic conditioning. Since it was kind of hard to believe, she replicated in another group of subjects and found the same thing. And so this idea of ischemic conditioning to enhance motor learning is a really good example of a current project, a very innovative kind of a thing that has potential to change the way we practice in physical therapy.
Yeah, those things we learned about in class, the things that we've been doing for a long, long time, the things we've come to learn that aren't necessarily intuitive, they start out like projects like this. Someone has to figure it out or look into something and say, maybe this will work. And then they need to go do it. And the only way to go do it is if they have something like the foundation helping them out financially.
That's absolutely right. And it can mean the difference between, a student being able to get through their PhD studies or not.
Okay, I want to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about another guy who's putting his posterior where his mouth is in terms of the Foundation for Physical Therapy. Talking about Stanley Paris and what he's doing. I want to mention him because we had him on the show a couple weeks ago. And I also want to talk about beekeeping in just a minute with Michael Miller on the PT Pinecast. Don't move.
We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This is the PT Pinecast.
Humanity's greatest advances are not in its discoveries, but in how those discoveries are applied to reduce inequity.
Doing what's never been done before is intellectually seductive.
We all need to contribute. Me, you, we. It is our duty.
With international service learning, travel to a new part of the world, learn the skills to help others, and serve those in need. Visit ISLonline.org for more.
Working at his orbicularis oris until failure. DJ, Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
All right, we're back with Dr. Miller from Washington University in St. Louis, the Department of Physical Therapy, and says in your bio something about being an avid beekeeper. How did you get started with keeping bees?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy. We do keep bees, and we live in the suburbs. I've always been fascinated with bees, but I became interested in a practical kind of a way when one night my wife and I were walking around the neighborhood, and not 5 feet from the sidewalk was a beehive. And I walked up to it and I was absolutely fascinated because there were bees coming in and out, in and out, in and out. And you could see them bringing pollen in. And I thought, well, if this guy can keep a beehive like 5 feet from the sidewalk, I know we can do that in our backyard. So we got a couple hives and we've been at it about 7 years. It's just a terrifically satisfying and fun kind of hobby.
Well, then I got to ask, how many times have we been stung?
Well, you know, I think I started out getting stung more than I do now, but so I got stung last week once, but before that, it'd been a while. I wear the whole suit and the get up. You know, I get stung a couple times a year, but it's not too bad.
Well, good. Well, at least we know you're not allergic.
That's right. And the good part is the honey. So
yeah,
get lots of honey.
Perfect. All right, so we're talking about the Foundation for Physical Therapy, all the good things that it funds in terms of research for the field of physical therapy. Someone's out there now, they're a first-year student, and they're saying, you know what, I want to do this one day. Or maybe they just graduated, they want to apply. How does someone go about doing that?
To do research really requires additional training, of course, from what you've done as a DPT student. So, you know, I like to think of it as in the DPT program, you're training to be a clinician, you're a consumer of research, and you really need to know how to interpret research. As a doer of research, that's a whole different level. And it's an interesting question that we are seeing DPT professionals go on and into meaningful clinical research without a PhD. But the most common avenue is to get a PhD. And usually that's a 4 to 5 year process after one has their DPT. And so you get into a program, then could apply for foundation funding. And so one would send in an application to the foundation, and you can go to the website that you mentioned and look at all the different kinds of funding opportunities. I'd like to tell you briefly about the review process of those applications, because I think it's interesting whether you're a student or whether you're just giving money to the foundation. So if you're raising money for the foundation, you're giving money for the foundation, it's important that the foundation takes that very seriously. We really guard that money very, very carefully, and every application goes through a very thorough vetting process. So the application comes in, and let's just say for the PODS awards, we also have $40,000 and $80,000 research grants. So any of those, let's just say there's 15 or 20 applications. Well, each application goes to at least 3 reviewers, and those 3 reviewers read every page of the application, review it very carefully, and then that comes to a committee, the Scientific Review Committee, and they meet, and as a group, they go through every application. The 3 reviewers, there's a primary, secondary, and tertiary, they give a score before the discussion, and then the whole group discusses it, and then they come back, and then they give a final score. And then those scores of all the grants are rank ordered. And so then, of course, the very best grants come to the top. Those are then sent on to the Board of Trustees, and then the Board of Trustees selects the final recipients of the grant, 99 times out of 100, according to the rank ordering of the Scientific Review Committee. So it's a very thorough process of getting the very best science and ensuring that all the funds that are raised by the students and other donors goes to the best science.
Well, you'll be happy to know we just finished up a fundraiser this past weekend in Arlington with Marymount University. We threw our second annual 5K and are able to donate some more money this year than we did last year for the Foundation for Physical Therapy.
That's so fabulous.
Yeah,
that's
pretty great. Excited
and
about that.
I bet you had a lot of fun, too.
We did. We had, I think our key was we had free beer at the finish line.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because if you're going to try to convince people who aren't necessarily runners to run a 5K on a Saturday morning, some free food and a couple of free beers at the finish line is not...
How many people did you have come out?
We had just under 500, so we had 485.
Oh, that's fabulous, Jimmy. That's a great idea.
Looking to do that again. So a lot of different creative ideas for fundraising in terms of the Marquette Challenge. You can check that out at foundation4pt.org. Another guy's pretty creative. Stanley Paris riding his bike across the country. He's looking to average more than 100 miles a day, and he's got to be somewhere in Texas right about now. He's going to reach out to us in a couple days and give us an update, because I talked to him when he was in California getting ready to kick off. But there's another guy like Steve Tepper with Stan Paris is doing some great work and just trying to draw some attention, some more money towards the foundation.
Oh, absolutely. Stanley is amazing. I mean, he's an inspiration. And but I want to say Stanley is like 76 years old. First, he gets in a boat and wants to go around the world. Now he's going to ride over 100 miles a day to go across the country. It really is quite remarkable.
Yeah, we've got all the links available at our website, ptpinecast.com. You just click on the blog section, and we've got the Stan's blog updating his travels every day, his flat tires, his inclement weather. And he's really putting his posterior where his mouth is in terms of he raises money, he fundraises, he advocates, and now he's saying, look, I'm willing to ride across the country for this. This is that important. That's why people should get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. It is an excellent testimony for the Foundation for Physical Therapy. So it's all about, you know, it's really all about the foundation, showing the effects of physical therapy. And I know Stanley believes very strongly that big reason that he's able to do the kinds of things that he does is his career and lifestyle choices consistent with physical therapy and the kinds of insights that he's gleaned from that. So, yeah. Physical therapy, it's for everybody.
I know in PT school here at Marymount University, if you aren't necessarily super excited about research, our professors say that's okay, but recognize the importance of it. And as you said earlier, which is a great point, make sure that you are a very, very good consumer of it to put it into your practice. So whether you're thinking about going into research or not, it's going to affect you and the career that you're eventually going to go into if you're a student, and it's definitely affecting your career if you are a practicing clinician right now. So anything on the horizon for the foundation coming up in the next couple of months that you wanted to highlight and get the word out?
I would just like to highlight our co-star, Center of Excellence. You know, so that's at Boston, Brown, and the University of Pittsburgh. Just a real visionary kind of center. The profession, the foundation, recognized the need to train people in health services. We needed more people. So it's $500,000 a year. So $2.5 million has gone to that. We're really excited about the outcomes for CoStar. Linda Resnick is the director and just doing a great job with that. And then the second thing that's very exciting, for the first time in its history, the foundation will give over $1 million away this next year. So, you know, from its start when it gave away, a couple thousand dollars a year to its current status where it's going to be giving away $1 million. I mean, that's just amazing, I think. It takes people like you, Jimmy. It takes the students out there running the 5Ks, doing the continuing ed kind of things, doing the service projects to raise money that goes to the foundation so that we can fund those kinds of projects like CoStar or like the doctoral students that I mentioned to you.
More information, if you want to check any of this stuff out, online at foundationforpt.org. That's foundation, the number 4, pt.org. We are going to check in with Stanley Paris as he pedals across the country as well. We're going to phone in with him in just a couple of days before he gets done. I just wanted to thank you for taking some time out of your day to talk to us about the foundation and all the good that it has done and will do.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they? The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.